If you were a historian, you would say that the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem and the arrival of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the house in Capernaum would be two completely different events, separated by about 1,000 years. The liturgy puts them together in today's first reading and today's gospel. So we're not historians, we're ponderers, pondering the word. So let's ponder these readings together. The arrival of the Ark. David has become king by this time, and he is establishing his capital city in Jerusalem. So once he gets himself settled in Jerusalem, he says, well, the Ark should be here. Now, there's no temple yet, right? It says there's a tent. So he didn't build the temple, even though he wanted to, but he wanted the Ark to be in his capital city. The Ark had an interesting journey. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, the Philistines had captured the Ark, and then they suffered from it, so they sent it back. They don't want this Ark, and then the Ark was in different places. At some point, David said, we've got to bring it to Jerusalem, but along the way, Uzzah touched the Ark and died. And then David said, oh, no, well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't take the Ark into Jerusalem. This is dangerous. But after a while, it had been in the house of Obed-Edom, and then he was experiencing great blessings. And so David said, well, I can see the Ark is not an instrument of death. It's an instrument of blessing. It's the presence of God. So he decided to bring the Ark into the city. And in this reading, he dances with great joy, with abandon, it says, before the Ark. A joyful celebration of the presence of God in the midst of his people. It's a beautiful expression of joy. Dancing is a very expressive medium, of course, and joy before the Lord. Dancing, singing, sounds of the horn, and the Ark arrives, and then they have this celebration. They have, first of all, sacrifices, and then also a meal, a communion meal. This dancing before the Lord, many commentators have pointed out, is a precursor of what happened when Mary, pregnant Virgin Mary, arrived at the house of Elizabeth, and John the Baptist danced in the womb. Now, I don't know if that's what Luke had in mind when he recorded that incident, but many people have said this is the same thing. John the Baptist dancing for joy that the Lord has arrived, because he had arrived in the womb of Mary, his mother. It's certainly the same spirit, right? Joyful celebration about the presence of the Lord. And that's the right response to the presence of the Lord. Joy and sacrifice and communion. In this reading, it skips over one verse, verse 16, which is the verse which describes David's wife, Michal, who sees him dancing. She's looking out the window, and she sees him dancing, and she judges him for that. She thinks that he's being inappropriate, that the king shouldn't be dancing around in front of his subjects, as if it was an action that was beneath him, or at least beneath her. And so Michal judges him. Now it skips over that, but it's, I think, a significant detail, because she has exactly the wrong response to the arrival of the Lord. She's thinking about herself, her standing. She's thinking about the reputation of her husband. She's thinking about human affairs. She's not thinking about the Lord in her midst. She's missing the whole point. And so instead of dancing for joy, she's criticizing and judging. The psalm today, Psalm 24, is a psalm apparently written for a procession to the temple, or a procession in the presence of the Lord. And we only read a few verses of it. But if David is the author of this psalm, because we know he wrote some of the psalms, perhaps he wrote it with this in mind, the arrival of the Ark into the city. Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals. Open a space for the Lord to come. That your doorway is too small. Make it bigger. Welcome more. Be more open to the presence of God. You see where Michal failed to do this. She not only did she not open the gates, she closed her heart to the presence of God. But David, he opened his heart, and so he was filled with joy. He opened the doorway, the portal. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this arriving in the presence of the Ark? It is the Lord. Now, the Ark is not the Lord, right? The Ark is a symbol of the throne of the Lord. It's a symbol of the presence of the Lord, but it's not the Lord. It's not an idol. Far from it. It represents the Lord's presence. It's a symbol of the Lord's presence in their midst. The most sacred symbol the Jews had. So here's the Lord arriving. Open up the gates. So lift up the gates. Open up the portals. Expand the entranceway so that you can receive this great gift. So we have the first reading in the psalm about the arrival of the Lord, arrival of the presence of God in the midst. When we turn to the gospel, it might seem like something different, but in fact, no. Here is Jesus, this is in the city of Capernaum now, and he's at the house that they called his home for at least a little while. And Mary and some other relatives show up and they want to see him. Jesus makes this very surprising twist at this moment. The crowd says, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. What you would expect is, oh, send them in, or, oh, I'll go out and see them. That's what the normal human response would be, and that would be fine. But Jesus takes the opportunity to expand the entranceway, right? To open up the circle of who belongs to this category of members of the family. And he does it by asking this question, who are my mother and my brothers? No one ever asks that, who's my mother? That's one relationship that everybody knows, almost. I mean, that's such a basic reality of human life. Who's my mother? So, of course he knows who his mother is. I mean, he's not asking the question to get an answer. Oh, it's that woman out there. No, he's lifting up the gates. He's opening the portals. He's opening the way to a bigger answer to what seems like a very basic question. Who is my family? Who belongs to this circle? Who are the ones who welcome me? And that's when he says, whoever does the will of God. Whoever does the will of God. Not the one who's related to me by blood, but whoever does the will of God. So doing the will of God is the way to open up the gates. Doing the will of God is the way to welcome his presence in our midst. Doing the will of God is the way to become a member of his family. So he's not excluding Mary. He's not insulting Mary, although it does certainly look like an insult. It certainly looks like an insult, but Mary can handle it. She ponders it. She has a very big heart, and she understands that her son is doing something more than simply being a member of her family. She knows from the moment he was conceived that his mission was way beyond her bloodline. She's just the privileged one to bring him into the world, but she doesn't own him. She doesn't have control of him. In fact, mothers don't own their children, and mothers don't have control of their children, so don't put that burden on yourselves. But here's, Mary would not have been insulted by this. She would have seen, if not immediately, within a few seconds, she would have realized that he's doing something to establish the kingdom here. He's not out to reject and insult me. He's out to welcome other people into the family of God. So that's the beauty of this. What does it say to us? Do the will of God and be part of the family. Do the will of God and welcome the presence of God in your midst. Do the will of God and rejoice that God is with you. So be like David, not like his wife, Michal. Be like the people that Jesus is speaking to. He says here, whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. One last thought, because today is the feast of St. Angela Merici, who was a virgin, consecrated religious. She didn't have any children, but she was known as a mother, and she formed a community of virgins who were known as mothers. Why? Because they were the spiritual mothers of the girls that they took care of. And we read a letter of hers earlier this morning in the Office of Readings. She addresses her spiritual daughters, meaning the sisters of her congregation, as her daughters and as mothers. What is this changing of title, family titles? This is the spiritual life. Spiritual relationships. All of us are brothers and sisters, even if we're not related at all. All of us are brothers and sisters because we have one Father. Jesus says, if we're doing the will of God, we're also mothers. It's a spiritual role of life-giving, and St. Angela Merici is just a great example of it. But she's one more teacher showing us what the Lord wants us to do here. Do His will so that we can share in His life, be part of His family, and give His life to others.